Blog Talk Radio.
Come on now, we got this thing getting ready to go here. And go. I can't get anything linked up here. Hold on a second. This is crazy. All right. Come on now. Bear with me, folks. I got a late start. I'm very sorry. We're going to go live here in just a few minutes. So hang out. I have a little announcement I'll be making here in a minute, so that's what we're talking about. So bear with me. Nothing seems to be working again. My Wi-Fi and my internet is going stupid again. So my father passed away, and it's really stressful. We'll talk about that in a minute. Please bear with me as we get this show started. Extremely tired, working hard to get this show rolling. I'm just having nothing but technical difficulties, apparently.
GG
connected.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Come on. There you have it, folks. Please bear with me as I try to get this together. I'm having a little bit of a stressful day, and I'm working on it here. You know, when someone dies suddenly in your life, and you're left holding a bag, and you don't know what to do, and never had to deal with it.
You are listening. You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
I think now we are all set. We got it together finally. Everything looks hunky-dory. I'm rolling right in here now. Tonight we are doing a wonderful show, but I got to share it around. Folks, if you're in the live feed, I have not had time to share this show around or get this show advertised correctly, as I've been running like a maniac the last couple of days, as my father has passed away, and we are getting ready to drive to New York tomorrow. So I'm going to go to work, I'm going to get out of work, and I'm going to run from work straight to New York. It's going to be insane. It's an 18 to 21 hour drive, depending on traffic and weather, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So bear with me as I get this ready. I'll play a song. How about that? We'll play a jam from our good friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. Get your copy today. Again, that's DaveBray.com. Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. Get your copy. And we'll play, of course, I've been playing Freedom Rings lately because that is just an amazing tune. As we get ready to rock this show live with our featured guest, Peggy Baker, and Gold Star mother, Susan Price, return guest. Comes on from time to time, doing great stuff in the name of her fallen son, Aaron Kennefic. So we'll be talking with both of them here in just a minute. Help me get the show shared around. It's very important, the advocacy, what's going on here with Operation First Response. And we're going to get all the details of this great organization in just a minute. If I can get anything to work. I can't get anything to work. Here we go. We get a commercial, ridges. And please share, share and share alike. Here you go.
War is the soul of every war. Across the seas, run ashore, red revolt, on our flag, coffins are laid, we don't lie, red dawn, red star, the price is paid.
JadeBrayUSA.com. Get your copy of that great song today. That is Freedom Rings. Please remember the soldier's name as your freedom rings. It's so darn important, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is a little bit about what our show is about tonight. Oh, I forgot my favorite necklace my son gave me. I want to say hello to everybody there in the live feed. This is another veteran advocacy show, just like we had this past week when we did Canine Partners for Patriots. They are where those guys are getting service dogs. They are rescuing dogs and training them to be service dogs for soldiers with PTSD coming back from the battlefield. And they had a great event this weekend. I chickened out and went roller skating instead because of the rain. I'm a little bit of a lightweight. I didn't want to go stand out in the rain. You know, and so that's what I did. But without further ado, I want to bring our first guest, the featured guest tonight, who our good friend and return guest will also join us in about 2 minutes. Susan introduced me to Peggy Baker from Operation First Response, doing wonderful things for our veterans. Welcome to the show, Peggy.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. I really appreciate this opportunity to tell everybody about the things that we're able to do.
Yes, ma'am. And, of course, I hope that you have ways people can help as well. Tell us a little bit about the history of Operation First Response. How old this organization has been around for, and we'll get into numbers and how many people you've helped.
Okay. Well, initially, I think my life changed. My whole family's life changed on 9/11, as did most
like
Americans.
Like many of ours.
Yeah, absolutely. And my son actually was 25 at the time and was actually working in the Pentagon, where it had been hit days prior to 9/11. And that day was a very long day for us because we weren't certain if he was working there. He's an electrician. On the day of the tragedy, but thank God he was not. But he decided at that time that he was going to join the military because he was going to fight for our country. And like so many of young men and women and our children made the decision on that day to go and defend our country. So my life changed immensely, and we had no military in the family really to speak of. So, you know, sometimes you can walk around really blind to the sacrifices that are made for you every single day and have been throughout history. Where would our country be without the men and women that decided to sign up and go and fight for the freedoms that we all enjoy every day? So I was a homeschool mom on a farm out in Midland, Virginia, and I felt like I had to do something to support my son's efforts and his decision. That one decision that he made that day changed the rest of my life. And that was, I think in 2003 was initially the first time that I had gone into Walter Reed Army Medical Center. We actually had a team member that was a nurse at Longstuhl, so we were kind of tag-teaming. Most of the wounded at that point early on in the war were coming into Walter Reed in D.C., and so she would be there as the wounded were brought in from the combat fields, and she would help take care of them and give our information to them. And then the families, she would contact me, and I would be waiting for the soldier to be returned to the States. And in the meantime, I would have already talked to the families and helped them to either get there. You know, things, there were so many wounded coming in at that time that things were pretty chaotic. And so we were there to help in any way that we could. An emotional way was significant at that point. We were sitting with family members who didn't know whether or not their loved one was going to make it or not. Injury, fear. So it was a lot of tragedy and emotion, you know, involved. So that initially, that's how we started, was going into Walter Reed and just being with the families, being with the soldiers that were recuperating, and then all of a sudden started realizing there were so many things that were happening. Families were being displaced because if it was a single soldier, then mom and dad were leaving home to go be with that soldier and take care of them, be at their bedside, which meant that loss of wages for the family. And we were finding moms and dads who had worked their whole lives and had their homes and their vehicles and everything, and they were losing everything just to be able to be with their loved one. And same thing with the soldiers that were married. They were young couples with children. They were being displaced, and everybody was at the facility at Walter Reed. And it was just a really difficult time for everybody. And people were losing everything they'd worked for. And so we realized that we had to do something. And we started bringing in different items and talking more to the families and finding out what the needs were and realizing that we needed to start something official, which was Operation First Response was actually born in September of 2004. And we just began bringing in items, helping the families with bills back at home, just all kinds of different, whatever the need was, whether it was personal or financial, we wanted to make a difference and be able to be there for them. So that's how it all started. And we became very close to thousands and thousands of, you know, young men and women and their families and the journey that they were about to embark on. Some of the families were at the hospital and in that mode for years because the injuries were so severe. So we became very, very close to them. And I think sometimes that's one of our most important services that we provide, is that we care and they know it and we listen and just, you know, try to be there for them when the times are really tough, because it's a really emotional whirlwind for the families, you know. So we went through that time in the hospital when the wounded were coming in pretty heavily, and then it began to, as the years began passing, it got to the point where these same families were now entering into the veteran end of it. And as they made that transition, it was very difficult. And the caseloads in the veterans, for any of the veterans trying to get through to get their cases and then get their disability ratings, was turning into long, long periods of time. A year, 2 years. And during that period of time, families were not able to support themselves. And if you can't take a proud warrior and say, you know, you're not able to take care of your family now, and you're in a system that is kind of broken and not able to financially take care of the families. Plus, they're dealing with, you know, some pretty serious emotional issues, PTSD, serious physical injuries. You know, there was just so much to this. So we just kind of have been traveling a journey with them and watching their needs and listening to them and trying to implement different programs that we're able to help them with to try to alleviate some of the issues that they're dealing with. But it's been a journey. I can't tell you, it's been a journey of tragedy laced with miracles and, you know, people coming together and helping each other through a difficult time, because these are our children, you know. And so right. As a mother of a soldier, I need to be part of that, you know.
Right. And so how long has this organization been up and running now?
Well, we've been, we're going into our 15th year. And
wow.
It's been, I never expected when this started that it was ever going to turn into what it's turned into. You know, I really, I am a Christian woman, and I believe heavily in the fact that the only reason I'm here doing this is because God placed it in my hands and wanted me to. He's opened doors that, you know, I'm just a mom, you know, that knew that there was things that I could do here on the home front to support the efforts of our kids. And doors have opened and miracles have happened, and we've been blessed to be part of all of that. And
amen.
I just can't tell you how much it's changed my life.
I can imagine, because you meet some great fellows. You know, some people really tick me off too, you know, and it's really inspiring to have a group like yours and like K9 Partners for Patriots that was on the other day, helping the veterans. Because people say to me all the time, and it really irks me. Hey, look at that bum over there. Says he's a vet. Please help. Well, look at him. He's just a drunk sitting there on the sidewalk. What? Who wants to help that guy? And you know what I say to them? I say, you know what? I say, you know what? You know why we want to help that guy who's drunk and homeless? Because he has been let down by the VA, by the American people, and he's been forced out into the streets with nothing, and the only thing he can do to kill the pain of watching his brothers on the battlefield die is to drink himself silly. So if you don't like that guy because he's a drunken bum, the hell with you. I'll go over there and give him $2, maybe bring him a beer.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
I do. I often hear the same thing, like, you know, well, we don't have to take care of him. The government takes care of him. You know, that really annoys me, because, first of all, it's not just the government's responsibility. We're all living the American dream, and the reason why we are is because of men and women that will go out and take that stand for us. You know, that sacrifice, we have to respond to the sacrifice that's made for all of
us
every day.
That's why I played the song Freedom Rings to open up the show. I don't know if you listened to the words.
I did.
But it's really an amazing song. While we're sitting around on our couches watching the game, or we're out back mowing the lawn, or we're at the beach with the little kids making sandcastles, remember
exactly
the men and women who died or gave a limb so that you could be there freely and safely and not have to worry about, say, MS-13 cartel members coming up behind you and stealing your kids and slitting your throat and stealing your car.
Exactly. That's right. It's really mind-boggling to me that people think anything other than we should be there for our veterans. You know, it's a no-brainer. Without them, we would not be living in the country that we live in. So, you know, it's the same thing with seeing any disrespect to the flag. You know, to me, I maybe it's because I've had I know too many families, you know, that have been presented that flag, and I can't even stand the thought of.
Now we got this girl on the soccer team. This girl on the soccer team taking a knee during the national anthem on the world stage. She's an embarrassment.
What is that? It is embarrassment.
If I was the coach, I'd be like, I know you're our great goaltender, but I'd rather lose than support your disrespect of our nation and our veterans. I would rather lose and have no goaltender. You sitting on the bench. That's it. I would not take that crap if I was a coach. That's the problem with the NFL and all this. The coaches and the teams should be, make a stand. You want to disrespect the guy? They're kneeling next to soldiers on the football field. There's a Marine there, and they're on the sideline holding the corner of the flag, and there's a football player kneeling as the national anthem's playing. It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. I don't even I don't know where that mindset comes from at all, but it's truly so sad. I can't even see the flag without tears in my eyes. It's just that what it represents, the men and women that have sacrificed.
Memorial Day just passed, and it's one of the most important holidays of the year because it honors those that were killed on the battlefield. You know, you have Armed Forces Day, and you have Veterans Day, and you have Memorial Day. Memorial Day is for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. That's why it's called Memorial Day. See?
That's right.
And someone who knows all about Memorial Day memorializing is our mutual friend. She's on the line with us, Susan Price. Welcome to the show, Susan. Say hello to Peggy.
Hi, Peggy. Hi, Mark. Let me extend my condolences to you for the loss of your dad. I'm very sorry to hear.
Me too.
Thank you very much. I'm going to make a little announcement later on. A lot of folks that send condolences right now are actually watching in the live feed. I do want to thank each and every – I got over 600 condolences sent my way on Facebook. I want to thank everybody. My father passed away early in the morning on Father's Day. And, you know – folks are like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry that has to be on Father's Day. And that's how you have to remember Father's Day. I just said, well, it's a glorious day. What a best day to go out to meet the father of all the world is on Father's Day. And without him, I don't have my son. There's not me.
Right.
So we had a glorious Father's Day.
I remember you posting pictures of him over the years. And, you know, it just. Well, it's just like with my son, you know, that's our legacy. And I know your little boy, and, you know.
He's not little anymore.
I know. He's adorable. But our children are our greatest legacy. And my son was my only son. I have two daughters. But he loved our country, he loved God, and he wanted to be a Marine just like his grandfather. He could have gone to college on a sports scholarship. He was a gifted athlete, but he wanted to. In 1997, you know, he entered the Marine Corps, and he was number one the whole entire 12 years. And he would have been a lifer, and he would have retired a couple years ago. You know,
to cry.
But it was cut short. And, you know, we make plans and God smiles, right? You know,
And folks, if you don't know who Susan Price is, her son was ambushed in the ambush at Ganjigal in Afghanistan. It was the Benghazi before Benghazi. How long was the firefight that Aaron was in before he actually?
Well, it started at 5:30 in the morning. It started at 5:30 in the morning, and it ended at 4:15 in the afternoon. They were denied air and artillery support almost the entire time. And when my son and his little four-man team of Marines and 12 Afghan soldiers were pinned in the valley, a horseshoe-shaped valley, in the village of Ganjigal, Kunar province. They called for air support umpteen times. They were denied. Finally, somebody in the Tactical Operation Command did call for air support. When the choppers were ready to descend to rescue, there came a call from a higher echelon that said, clear the airfield. They were 4 minutes from descending and rescuing my son and his Marine team, but a general, and I won't mention his name, from CENTCOM was micromanaging the battlefield in Afghanistan and put the kibosh on my son's life and his Marine team. This is such a very deep, complex. My son was intelligent. And this is tied to two living Medal of Honors, Marine
right.
Dakota Meyer and Army Captain Will Swenson, who I attended. I actually helped Congressman Hunter to achieve Will Swenson's Medal of Honor because the DOD and the Pentagon said it would not be for 3 to 5 years that Duncan Hunter would be able to even get a copy of the investigation report, which I had sent to him the next day, along with some extra added paperwork that fell into my good graces. And within 13 months, we obtained the Medal of Honor for Will Swenson, the very much awarded to him for what he had done to bring my son and his men back, because the coalition forces wanted to leave our Marines there on the battlefield.
And whatever happened to no man left behind?
Right.
Well, you see, this was under number 44's administration, and you know of its stain that took place. You and I know very well. And, you know, there were, 200 military officials that were released during that time, and good men that were jailed during that time for doing their job. So there was a lawlessness which started on the battlefield and worked its way into our communities. And I wanted also to mention that Operation Jade Helm, and we know what that was, to militarize our communities to make it look like that was normal, so that when they believed they would pull out the communist agenda, that we would be used to it, we'd be soft to it. But that general, that whose name is on those documents, which I have in my possession, his name was also on my son's investigation report from Afghanistan. That was the very general that was in charge of Afghanistan. So,
we've actually talked about him in the past.
Pardon me?
We've talked about this general on the show in the past when
have. Yes, the criminal generals. And as you know, Mark, I'm also working on behalf of Clint Lawrence, who's was an Army officer who's innocent, and they threw him in the brig 6 years ago. I'm fighting for him. I also, as God would have it, and this is what's happened, it's going on 10 years that my son has been gone this September. But what the Lord has done not only showed me more through the whole all the undertakings that took place during the last administration, but I met people to help me along my journey, and we put out crimes and false flags that were going to happen. These are miracles. And so this is God's plan is such a great plan. And of course I miss my son, but to be able to help other people, other warriors that are innocent, and to free them, that's a big deal. And so I'm blessed with that opportunity. And we're hoping that Clint Lawrence will be among one of the next to be released. So I've been working on that. And,
Eddie Gallagher at least got out temporarily. Eddie Gallagher got out, right? He needs to be part.
Miller. Yes, he needs to be pardoned. So, we have a
prosecuting soldiers from the battlefield. That to me is just so crazy that these guys are on the battlefield. They're trained to kill the enemy, and when they kill the enemy, they come home and get arrested for murder.
I can't even wrap my brain around that.
But
it's unbelievable.
That the enemy was not only the foreign enemy, but the infiltrated domestic military and political enemies within our own government. And let me tell you, I'm very passionate about this. They are on a short leash. We know who they are, and they are going down. Trump is looking into everything. Believe me, President Trump will get them. He has a plan of action. He's looking into everything. He's investigating everything. So.
So I have a question. I have a question for Peggy.
Yes.
Peggy, Operation First Response helps veterans. You guys helped almost 20,000 veterans now. Do they also reach out to Gold Star families?
Yes,
you know, the soldiers aren't here. These are left behind.
Yes, we help wounded, injured, and critically ill active duty. And we also help families of the fallen, and then we help disabled veterans. And it kind of, you know, again, our journey changes and grows with the needs that we find along the journey, you know, and meeting people like Susan and hearing these stories. And it's amazing how we're all brought together. That's not an accident.
It is. Yeah.
No, that's definitely
divine.
And it's
such an honor. Yeah, it's such an honor to know Peggy and the people on her team. They're just so wonderful. We had such a wonderful time, Mark. What was it, Peggy, a month or two ago in Philadelphia?
Yes, in May. Right.
Yeah, it was just so beautiful. And I was honored with a portrait of my son along with Charlie Strange from SEAL Team 6 family. So unexpected, and it was just a beautiful tribute. Thank you so much, Peggy.
Oh, it's truly an honor. That's another, one of our programs is Project Final Salute, and we've partnered with Project Compassion, which is an artist, amazing artist named Kasiah Hancock, and she's done thousands of pictures of the fallen. And funding became really difficult for her over the last few years. And so we did not want that program to fall to the wayside because we've had the opportunity to present portraits of the fallen to their family members. And it's such a moving, touching experience to be able to give that to them and see their look on their faces when they receive those portraits. So we pay for the portraits now, and Kasiah paints them, but she does a wonderful job. And it's just, I think it's something important that, you know, it's like our final thank you to this family to be able to give them that portrait
right.
of their loved one, you know. So that's one of our programs.
I don't know where you're from. But I have a friend, Scott. I think Susan knows Scott as well, Scott Maxim. And he runs the Veterans Art Center of Tampa Bay. And they display the art of veterans. And that's the only art that is in there. And then they sell the veterans' artwork, help sell the artwork. And the money goes to the veteran who made the picture and stuff like that.
That's wonderful. There's so many great programs. And I will check that out, absolutely.
I can give you the website real fast. That's at www.vactv, Veterans Art Center Tampa Bay.org, vactv.org. And what's your website over there at the Operation First Response if people want to go there and maybe chip in a few dollars, 10, 20,
it's,
50, 100,000, 10,000, whatever you like, folks.
That's right. And there's no donation that's too small because collectively that's how we've made it in all these years. It's been regular folks giving us donations across the nation. But our website is OperationFirstResponse.org, and you can go there and you can see the different things, the events that we have, the different programs we have. And, of course, if you're a veteran in need, you can find out how to apply, you know, for our services. And just about everything's on there, all about us.
Do you guys help out veterans who passed away, whose families don't have the means to have them buried?
Absolutely. You know, with the issue of suicide becoming an unbelievable tragic, I cannot tell you how many of our veterans are committing suicide. And these families
it's
have
more than
no
22.
Return. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And it's just an epidemic.
More like 100.
And many of the families, when it gets to that point, when they're in veteran status and they come home and take their life here in the States, there's no help for them. You know, there really is very little help for these families. So there's been many times that we've had veterans that we've had to transport the body back.
And that's what angers me so much. That's what angers me so much when people say, ah, look at that bum. Who cares? That's what. That's why I get so fired up over that. Because they're not getting the help and everything they need. And so they gotta, they're helping themselves. They gotta kill the pain, and they have no other way. I don't fault somebody for that. You know, at least we have that option. If you can't get help from the VA, if you can't get help from the VA, you can always call Anheuser-Busch.
There you go. It's just, I mean, I think that
I don't advocate that. No.
No, I know.
I'm a recovering alcoholic myself. I don't advocate that, but if that's the only means you have, by all means, you have that means.
You have to do what you have to do to survive. I know.
Yeah.
That means drinking
20 beers a day. If that means drinking 20 beers a day so you could pass out and sleep on the street, then you do it, you know, because we turned our backs on them. It's horrifying. It is horrifying. People don't get you. They don't understand how horrifying that even. And another thing that's boiling my blood, and this is why I keep covering it and covering it and covering it, is the crisis that is unmanufactured by anybody but the Democrats of the last administration, the crisis at the border.
Right.
And these people are coming in, and all they have to do is step on American soil and say, I'm here for asylum. Help me. I'm fearing for my life in my own country. Bam! They get the constitutional protections and the benefits our veterans deserve, while our veterans sleep on park benches and in tents and all over Skid Row and places like that across this country. And people like Nancy Pelosi making money hand over fist in Congress, $174,000 a year job, and they leave multimillionaires. I don't understand that. That should be against law. They should be thrown in prison as soon as they walk out the door, because obviously if you're making $174,000 a year for a couple of years in Congress and you walk out a multimillionaire, I think there's crimes. And they're chasing
Trump.
There's
something wrong.
Bogus crimes. They're chasing him for bogus crimes and lies and salacious, bogus dossiers that are unfounded, unverified crimes.
Well, and Mark,
from
you know, they're in cahoots with the lobbyists. They're getting paid.
Yep.
She and Schumer and others. They're getting paid for this stuff. And let me tell you, I want to make a mention of this. My son, his very best friend growing up, was also a Marine. They went in together. And then when this gentleman got out of the Marine Corps, he became a border patrol over there in El Paso, Texas. And during the former administration, they were told to stand down countless number of times while he was supposed to be arresting these people. Their hands were tied. You know, they were given the orders. You let them come through. And you can't make this stuff up. You know, the things we've all witnessed, or people close to us have witnessed these things, these crimes taking place by the domestic terrorists within. And our forefathers mentioned that, too. They said that America would never be taken down by the enemy, the foreign enemy. It would come from
the
domestic.
I said that on the last show.
Yeah.
I agree.
I said it on the last show, where some world leader many years ago said, we don't have to fire any shots to take down America. We're going to take down America from within. We're going to use their laws against them to take them down. And here we are.
Yep.
It's the truth.
We were talking about how
the majority of our injured and killed on the battlefield was due to rules of engagement. My gosh.
Yeah, well, those were generals' orders, and 2 weeks before my son died, those orders were changed. But, you know, it's so convoluted because there's these generals, there's, you know, the military industrial complex from within. And like I said, Obama had fired 200 officers and of highest ranking. So that
he was purging the military of anybody with a conservative minded battlefield. And you know what's freaking horrible is the rules of engagement got so many people killed that it's ridiculous that you're on the battlefield. If I was president, these would be my rules of engagement. See the enemy? Fire!
kill the enemy. That's right.
Well,
that's exactly right.
You don't have to call me at the White House. Hey, President Obama, do we have permission to kill the enemy? Hold on, let me call. Please hold. And 10 minutes later, no. Oh, too late. Half my team's dead already. You know, it's crazy.
Well, Mark, I wanted to make a mention that not only did the rules of engagement kill my son, but there was another order, a tactical directive. That, and I was told this by one of the pilots who called me in confidentiality, to say not only did we have, you know, the rules of engagement handcuffing us, but a tactical directive. So that's two sets of handcuffs. And, you know, and here there were, 150 supposed Taliban against our Marine team. And, you know, it's just unbelievable. We weren't allowed to drive our vehicles into the village. And I do want to mention that someone from the State Department had been meeting with the village elders earlier the day before. So our Marines were set up. They were set up to die.
The same type of thing with Charlie Strange's son, Michael.
Yes.
And all of those special forces, that's like unprecedented to have that many in that helicopter.
Yeah.
What in the world?
It was a setup.
It has to be. There's, none of that makes any sense.
No, it doesn't.
None of it. It's so heart-wrenching.
It's, you know, and that's what makes it hard. It's not the fact that I lost a son to war, because I'm a veteran and my father was a Marine as well. It's the fact that the betrayal and knowing my child for the last couple hours of his life was not protected by our own coalition forces, but was hung out to dry and hung out to die. Yeah. With his Marine men. And my son was the first man in that day. So,
and they fought,
Yeah.
Did they succumb because they called for help, they didn't get no help, and they ran out of ammo? Is that the ultimate reason why they wound up losing their lives and losing that battle?
No, my son was part of a deep intelligence operation that was going down that day. And, you know, there was one of the domestic terrorists was trying to keep that from happening, you know, because we were doing business with the enemy. And some of our guys knew, and I have reason to believe my son knew what was going on, but it was too late at the last minute. He was...
And he didn't get a chance to speak up because they sent him out to the Ganjgal ambush. Peggy, do you guys have any events coming up on a schedule where people can maybe go and have a good time and chill out with Operation First Response?
Yes. Well, we have a golf tournament coming up in August. We have a gala coming up in November. Actually, we're very, very honored that Rob O'Neill is going to be our guest speaker at that event, and that'll be near Philadelphia. So we have, and they're all posted at our website, so please visit our website and see the different events that we have going on. We have our signature events are the Walk for the Wounded. We have one in Media, Pennsylvania in May, which is one that Susan was just attended. And then we have one in September in Ocean City, New Jersey.
And I'll be there.
And I know it. And those have actually turned into like family reunions. We have gotten so close to so many families, and the beauty of it is that they all come in for the event, and then now they're all related to each other. You know, they've all become family, and now they're having children, and the children have all become family to each other. So it's
right.
As much of a, you know, obviously we need funding to be able to do what we do, but that is such a healing time for all of us. My whole team is there, and you know, we're just encompassed by all these people that we love and have gone through some really traumatic times with, and we've survived and we've held on to each other. And you know, we meet people like Susan that, I mean, to me, to lose my child, is the ultimate. I'm not sure how you go forward, but she has been strong enough to stand up and keep fighting to, you know, to help others. I mean, that's just amazing, to take tragedy and turn it into something positive by helping others. And I'm just so thankful for people like you, Susan, that I can learn from and admire and be strong with, you know.
Well, I'm honored to have met you and all the other families. I mean, all of their families, such a loss and heartache for some of these mothers and fathers. I mean, we're family. We're all in it together. We're
That's
the wounded
right.
healers, you know. We
That's
are
right.
because
if we don't stand up and do something, who will? You know,
right.
I mean, this touches
right.
our lives in such a significant way.
And
so
I love that your team is just, they're such amazing people. You guys work countless hours behind the scenes. Just the stuff that you do and Nick and everybody, just amazing people. And Mark, thank you for playing our friend Dave Bray. I know Dave personally. He also honored my son two, 3 years ago at an event. It was such an honor to meet him and his lovely wife, Becky. And it's just, you know, we're all in it together, and that's why networking, getting on the radio, telling other people, our circle
right.
has to grow because we're helping our veterans and Gold Star families. And we're less than 1% of America. Can you believe it?
I know it.
Amazing.
And there should be no needs left for, you know, like I have,
right.
we are the most generous nation in the world, and we take care of everybody,
yeah.
you know, so why, first we need to take care of our own, and that's our veterans, you know,
right.
so, and then I don't care, we'll take care of the whole world, that's great, you know, but I want ours to be taken care of, you know, these men and women deserve that, they deserve to come home and know that they are honored and respected, and you know we will never ever forget. You know, it's powerful.
Right. And what I'm going to do real fast is in the event page I had posted the commitment of Operation First Response, and I'm just going to read that real fast and let people know, because my friend Jimmy, he's a big backer of veterans, and he loves his country. He's a heck of a patriot, and many other people here in the live feed. And, of course, out in Blog Talk Radio land listening right now can understand exactly what these folks are trying to do. The mission of Operation First Response Incorporated is to serve all branches of our nation's wounded heroes, disabled veterans and their families with personal and financial needs. Services are provided from the onset of injury or illness throughout their recovery period and long after their journey from military life to the civilian world. And the financial aid varies as each case is based on individual needs ranging from rent, utilities, vehicle payments, groceries, clothing, and travel expenses. So they're really helping out these guys who are really in need. It's not like a bogus charity. This is the real deal, folks. And how many families and veterans have you helped so far? I know it's 19,000 something, right?
Yes, we take a tally at the end of every year, and so December 31st, 2018, we had served 19,800 and some families, and so and then we'll take another count at the end of this year. And yes, and you know, I mean, it's been such an amazing journey, and let me tell you, like, there's not a lot of help for our older vets. There's not a lot of help for them. So, you know, there's a lot of organizations out there that have come forward since 9/11. But most of them help, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans and forward. So our Vietnam vets, our World War II vets, our Korean vets had very little help. And actually, one day we got a phone call that there was a World War II vet whose power was shut off. And we're like, oh my gosh, you know, we never even thought of that. We were really only serving OIF and OEF veterans simply because that's who was coming to us. But then we realized, oh my gosh, here's a veteran that we're going to say we can't help him because he served in the wrong conflict? You know, I don't think so. So we immediately
right.
realized that that need was there as well. So we help all veterans from all conflicts. To me, it doesn't matter when you served. It just matters that you served.
Right.
These guys don't
Amen.
Know when they sign up. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're going to do. They don't
okay.
know if they're going to sit behind the desk or they're going to be a gunner in a you know in the turret. You know, I mean, it's there's so much to what our military does for us. You know, like my son wasn't here when his baby made her, you know, said her first words and took her first her steps. And
right.
I mean, these are things that we don't even think about. You know, that they
right.
sacrifice on a daily. You know, on a daily basis. So there's just so much to signing their name on the dotted line that people do not realize the sacrifice that's made, but they need to open their eyes and see it, you know?
I hear you. And it's really unbelievable. So folks, if you want to help out this amazing organization, you want to head over to operationfirstresponse.org and get busy. Help this great organization out. I want to thank you, Peggy and Susan, for coming on the show tonight. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you, Mark.
It's amazing. Keep up the great work, both of you. God bless you. God bless
thank
America.
You.
And if you'd like to stick thank around you. For the end of the show, I'm going to play Dave Bray's version of the Star Spangled Banner here in just about 8 minutes. But I got to wrap up the show a little bit. I have to make a little announcement for Thursday and then go over my schedule a little bit. Because I have a show scheduled, but obviously the show is probably not going to take place based on my current situation.
Right.
Good luck
well,
with that, Mark.
Your family will be in our thoughts and prayers.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
That's
so, great. Folks, I'm going to read this little thing. I put this together this evening with my sister-in-law because we are in dire straits, and I don't usually do this. I'm almost embarrassed, but I almost have no alternative. My father, Donald L. Hoffman, born December 31st, 1933, passed away this Father's Day, June 16th, 2019, early in the morning in his sleep. Thank God for that. He is survived by me and my brother, Donald, and my brother, Brian, and my sister, Michelle, and his grandchildren, Jennifer, Allison, Timothy, Christopher, Morgan, Alex, Mason, and great-grandchildren as well. He served in the Korean War, serving years for his country, you know, and... Yeah, he was a patriot. He passed his patriotism on to me and my son. You know, of course, the next two generations are feeling patriotic, and they love our country. I created Patriot Nation Radio Network, and I advocate for veterans all the time. It's something that I feel like I have to do. And so our patriot family is really trying to get to New York this week. The burial is Friday. Our Patriot family is seeking help with travel and funeral expenses, and we are grateful for any amount contributed and thank you from the bottom of our patriotic hearts. If you wish to help us get to New York with funeral and travel expenses, you can go to paypal.me/patriotnationradio. And if all of a sudden the whole pile of money is there, we will donate any leftover funds to a veterans organization such as Operation First Response or K-9 Partners for Patriots, or both. So if you wish to help this great family of ours, this is us right here.
Oh, no. Sorry.
We're trying to get up to see my dad's funeral and burial this coming Friday. Anything will help. A dollar, a quarter, whatever. Anything can help. We really would appreciate your help. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless America. Because I'm running on $300 in my checking account. We're driving out tomorrow. So we're really on a shoestring, kind of like our ancestors came here to this country with nothing and hit the road, you know. You know, my mother-in-law, she passed away and left no power of attorney and no executor of our estate, of my father's estate. So he and my brothers are estranged from the family and nowhere to be found, and it's crazy, and it all falls on me. So I'm doing everything I can. You guys are great people. You support my show. You watch my show. You listen to my show, and I thank you so much all the time from the bottom of my heart. So that would be paypal.me/Patriot Nation Radio. It's there in the live feed. Anything is grateful. And I'm going to talk about my schedule now here a little bit, my upcoming shows. I have a show Thursday, but it's going to be postponed to the following Thursday. Steve Odom, he's living in a town that is overrun by MS-13 gang members, drug cartels, a corrupt sheriff, and corrupt court system. that are targeting the American people. And his daughter now passed away from a fentanyl overdose. And 90% of the fentanyl is coming across the southern border. So this, we are considering folks whose families are affected like this, also angel families. And so he is fighting this, and it's not on the border. It's not in California, New Mexico, Arizona, or Texas. It's not even in Florida or you know, deep south. North Carolina, people. I'm hearing a lot of crazy things about North Carolina lately. It seems that a lot of these illegal aliens and drug cartel members are heading to North Carolina. So head out there. You want to really take a look at what's going on. You'd be shocked. And then on the 24th, and that show is going to be postponed to June 27th with Steve Odom. And then Karen Smith is going to join me on the 24th. What a story they got going on there. She is from South Africa. And many of the South African people are coming to a fleeing to America, the farmers, because the actual South African government has ordered white folks to give up their farms, and people are going onto these farms and killing the farmers and taking their land by force. It, you know, like what happened, you know, kind of like what our ancestors did here in the U.S. to the Native American population. But it's really scary what's happening to be happening in these times in 2019. On the cusp of 2020, the Roaring Twenties, Part Two, right in our backyard, and people are being slaughtered for their land, and it's being stolen like it's, you know, 1840.
We got to walk with the Lord.
So you know, we got to bring awareness to all situations. There's many South African people living in this country, and Karen, folks might remember, she even came on the show a long, long time ago with Colonel Harry Riley, Operation American Spring. So that she's been listening to the show for a long time, and she reached out to me. So that's what I got on the schedule now. We're still twisting the arm of Roger Stone. Soon we'll get Roger Stone on, I promise. So stick around, hang out, and prepare for a great show with Roger Stone, because he's a great interview. He really wants to talk to me about the candidates on the other side of the aisle, the 2020 Democratic candidates, 20 of them. And they got a debate coming up here real soon with these clowns. And they really are clowns. I can't find one in the bunch that even would have a chance. I don't understand. Kamala Harris. Buttigieg. The guy's name is Buttigieg, for crying out loud. President Buttigieg.
I like Buttigieg.
You know, my name is President Buttigieg. I don't think so. So, you know, and all the polls right now have Trump down by at least 10%. And Joe Biden throws a rally in, like, Iowa, gets 85 people. President Trump throws a rally in Orlando, and over 100,000 people have responded and are asking to come in and see this event. So it is 45 Fest outside the Amway Arena tomorrow, and they have, like, 100,000 people showing up in support of the president. So here's our little kitty. That's AC Kitty. So if you're anywhere in the area of Orlando and you want to be part of 45 Fest, because you're not getting inside, those seats are sold out, you're not getting in. Head out to the Amway Arena in Orlando tomorrow for 45 Fest and the biggest rally yet, the announcement of President's official run for 2020. And with that, I want to thank each and every one of you guys for tuning in. And we're going to do now the Star Spangled Banner as performed by our good friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. Get your copy today, right there, DaveBrayUSA.com. And there's also merchandise, shirts, all kinds of good stuff. He's got great stuff over there. And then also you want to go to Liberty Rush. A lot of merch. LibertyRush.com, social media without the libtarded rhetoric. And, of course, our good friend Paul Riley over at PatriotShit.com. Get all your supplies and needs for survival. Lots of patches. Then you got the best patches going. I got a patch a month for a year straight. I got a whole bunch of patches, and my wife and our friend from Taekwondo, Marissa, is going to help us fix up my vest or get me a new jacket and put all the patches on so I can represent PatriotShit.com. And with that, here it is, folks. It's the Star Spangled Banner as performed by our good friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Here you go, folks. Join me. After this ad.
Downright dangerous putt-putt ever played. From executive producer Stephen Curry.
This is the biggest competition in the world.
Holy moly.
Put Up or Shut Up, starting Thursday on ABC.
Off a minute too soon. All right, folks, there you have it. Thanks again for tuning in. This is another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show, heard here every week, Mondays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. And also, don't forget, James Bostic and A Conservative's Perspective, heard two nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, also on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Until we meet again, today's Monday, right? A week from today, 8 p.m. Eastern, for Karen Smith. Thank you. Good night. God bless you. God bless America. Mommy, I'm gonna be in school.